You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, David Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Alanis Morissette never dies.
Right.
What, really? That was enough?
Actually, now I can't hear Greg.
Ryan Geddes.
Hey, everybody.
Is here.
What's
been,
up?
A little too long. For Ryan Geddes.
That's what she said.
Can you really not hear me?
I can't really hear you very well.
I sound funny in my
head. Ooh, that sounds good. No,
that sounds good enough?
We're good? Yeah.
You've already won me over.
Joining us for his first appearance on GameScoop is our new Master-in-Chief.
Woo!
Commander-in-Chief. Casey Lynch, the new editorial editor-in-chief at IGN.
Hello. I don't know any Alanis Morissette lyrics, so.
Sure you do.
You got to
You're a music guy.
Do your part. You've already won me over.
Inside of me.
No, inside of me. Inside of me.
I like that.
Okay.
That's what you really meant.
No.
I planned that.
So, yes, welcome, Casey.
Thank you, Damon.
I think I'm excited about the future of IGN, things going forward. I think we've been fast friends, to be honest with you.
We have. Well, I was really afraid because you went to Comic-Con immediately, and I thought, you know, he doesn't like me, so he's.
That's
just
why I went to Comic Con.
Right, so, but I.
I can't stay here with this guy.
I think I drunk texted you several times, so.
Wow.
That helped.
And I definitely was drunk when I was sexting you.
Playboy.
While the coming of Casey.
Wow. If Casey didn't know, this will be recorded on a Tuesday, and you can see why we usually wait till Friday. David is rusty.
What is going on?
It takes a while for the wheels to really start turning and have
the arrival of Casey Lynch is a happy thing. We also have a sad event is about to occur as well.
That's right. Greg has been gaining a little bit of weight.
It's true.
I try to exercise by taking off my shirt, but it doesn't burn as many calories as I thought it would.
I've been off for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Had a baby, in case people on the other side of the microphone didn't know that. It was awesome, but I was off for a few weeks, and I just kept following Twitter, and every 5 or 6 days, Greg was taking his shirt off somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of become a thing.
A restaurant, an event, a developer interview, in the office,
a
wherever.
Baby christening.
Yeah, just around Brisses. He was taking his shirt off everywhere.
It's hard to cage a cougar. That's all I'm going to say.
It seems like it's been.
Meow, meow.
It's been escalating a little bit, I think. Or maybe it's just. I'm using Twitter more.
I think it's just that now you're one of these parents. You know, before you were freewheeling, having a lot of fun.
That's right.
Now you have a kid to worry about. You're like, oh my god, these child predators out there on the Twitter.
You kind of are a child predator.
The cougars and the panthers on the
Twitter.
We should mention that tonight's antics are brought to us by GameSoup listener Birch, who was kind enough to send us a bottle of Bullet Rye whiskey that we're enjoying now.
Which I promptly didn't drink and poured myself a rum job.
Yes, Greg is having a rum job. Greg's not really a whiskey guy.
This is the first rum job I've ever drank on GameScoop, I believe.
Oh, yeah, probably. But Bullet is like one of my favorite whiskey companies. They make a great bourbon. The rye is fairly new. It's great, too. So thank you very much, Bert. We'll put it to good use. Back on track. Sad news. I'm sorry to break this to everybody. This will be Ryan Geddes' final official appearance on GameScoop. I'm sure you'll be on again sometime in the future, but not as an employee of IGN.
That's right. This is my last week at IGN. I am leaving the company after 4 years of glorious hijinks. I'm heading over to a job at 38 Studios out in Rhode Island, the guys who are doing Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning and the upcoming MMO. And I'm really super excited about it. It's a great team and an awesome opportunity, but I'm also, I'm really sad because I love IGN and I love everybody here. So it's a bit of a bittersweet thing. Damon and I were talking about that a little bit earlier.
That's why we're recording on Tuesday. Ryan's not going to be here on Friday when we normally record GameScoop. So
yeah,
wanted to get him in here.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's one of those things where I almost don't even know what to say. Right? It's been IGN has.
Can
been,
you believe that? So you've been here for 4 years. GameScoop is 5 years old now.
That's crazy.
It's like
it feels like it's been going on for 100 years.
I know, right? There's just been so many changes.
I know. We've been through a lot. We've been through a lot over the years.
It's true,
and great years, right? So I mean,
I think it was
good, not great.
7.9, right?
8.5.
Yeah.
Wow. It was on GameScoop where we realized that you're made of lava.
That's right.
We got in a horrible fight one time.
Yeah. That was fun.
I was talking with Overlord of Superfans, Matt Jones. And he did some research and was able to find. That is episode 97, where Ryan and Greg got into a fight. A fight that was so strong it broke the podcast. The audio ripped the whole entire.
And you still posted it.
And we posted it anyway, yeah.
You did, yeah.
That was one of my favorite GameScoop moments, actually, I think.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to listen to that, that's episode 97. And, of course, all of the previous GameScoop episodes are handily archived on the My IGN blog, GameScoop Archives, run by Matt Jones.
Mr. Matt Jones.
Jones?
And you have more Matt Jones news to share later, right, I'm assuming?
Yeah, well, we can even do that right now. This guy, I mean, this is how you become Overlord of the Superfans, listeners. He got a license plate that says Scoop. I guess 4 years ago now, and so when
he got in early
when he had to retire, he had to retire his license plate recently and get a new license plate. So he mailed us the license plate with a frame, and so we have it framed now. We're going to put it up in the podcast room here. It's pretty awesome.
It's very nice, Matt Jones. That's why we like you.
I've been telling you guys for the past few days I'm going to miss you. I miss you, like working with you, being around you every day. Huh. That's definitely true.
I haven't heard you say that
to me. except for Greg, but. You know, it's more than that, right? It's this. It's people who listen to this show. It's the people who care about IGN and games and what we do and the larger community out there. So I'm definitely going to miss interacting with you guys like on a daily basis. But I'm still going to be on Twitter, on Facebook, on my IGN. So reach out to me just like you've always reached out to me. You know, message me on Twitter, message me everywhere. I mean, I'm still part of IGN. I don't think, like, if you really care about IGN, even when you leave, you're not really 100% gone, right?
That's true.
No one's ever gone. I see Craig Harrison here far too much.
Yeah.
He's always bugging me. He really wants to be on GameScoop.
So anyway, I don't have anything to say much farther than that, just that I'm really excited. I think it's a great move for me, but I'm also, I'm have a little bit of melancholy around leaving the place.
It's been a great 4 years. We've done a lot of really cool things together here.
Absolutely.
At IGN.
Yeah.
All the GameScoop TVs. It's been good. Anyway, speaking, you were just mentioning how awesome our fans are. Greg and I were just hanging out with him in San Diego for Comic-Con.
San Diego.
Oh, did you take your shirt off at all?
Yeah, I did.
Huh, interesting.
No, we videotaped it this time.
Oh, wow.
See, I had to lead a parade of booth babes from the IGN booth babe thing.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of work.
With a bunch of fans behind me. Mm-hmm. And when we got there and I threw it down, I just took off my shirt and danced with them.
Awesome.
Give what they want.
I seem to recall you taking your shirt off for a certain wrestler as well.
Oh, yeah. Hulk Hogan gave me some chops there. Full-on chops. Catch that on video.ign.com.
Actually, listener Brendan writes in with some questions about that.
About the Hogan thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
About your interview with Hulk Hogan.
Wow. Casey Lynch, you are a natural game scoop.
He says, Hogan said he was only going to chop you at 60%, but it still looked like it hurt. Was it bad?
It was.
The problem is that the man's got a hand like a frying pan.
Got a lot of meat on his bones.
If everybody wants to go back and watch a video for the TNA PSP we did, where I went and got chopped by the Motor City Machine Guns. I can't remember if it was Saban or Shelly anymore. Anyways, they gave me two really good ones on the chest, and they gave it, like, they have little hands. Not little hands. They have normal-sized hands, I should say, I guess.
Like baby hands.
They hit me, and for weeks, I had the perfect imprint of their hand on my chest. And, yeah, Hogan hit me three different times. And the first one, he didn't go hard, and then I called him names, and then he hit me hard again, but he glanced off me. He wasn't happy with it. I couldn't understand what he was saying was wrong with it.
Wow. This is the last time.
I'm going to miss that. And so, yeah, the third one really, really
I want to
really
see stunned. What your Geddes impression one more time.
I look like a rapper, like a fish rapper. If I was a rapping fish.
No. This is why we need a camera in here. That was amazing.
Yeah, if a trout was a gangster rapper.
I won't lie to you. Back in the old days of my IGN icons, or the old IGN icons for our old blog and stuff, I always wanted Geddes's blog icon to be an animated gif of me doing the Geddes impression. I'm sorry that dream never
came. You didn't make it for me. I would have used it.
I don't understand how to make them. I don't
understand. It's voodoo. Really complicated.
It's
some kind
of voodoo. What's a gif?
Everyone, listeners are always asking me what Let's Get Panda means. And you were there with me in Japan for the inception of that.
That's right.
When we saw somebody wearing a t-shirt that says Let's Get Panda. And that made a lot of sense to us. We were like, yes.
Yes, let's do Get let's. Panda. Let's do that. And we proceeded to do so.
We've done it many, many times since
yes.
then. I get Panda much more quickly than Ryan does. He's a very slow drinker.
I am.
I can drink 2.5 drinks in the time it takes him to drink one. Number two, Brendan has a second question here. You seem to be taking your shirt off more and more recently, Greg.
Whoa!
Do you think that by this time next year you just won't bother wearing shirts anymore?
Man. I'd like to live in that world.
He's not wearing a shirt right now.
Saran wrap. Just no shirt, but just Saran wrap.
So that'll still keep you warm.
Just the wife beaters, just the white undershirts. That's what I want to wear.
That you can easily rip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the style Greg Miller is looking for. So no, the answer is no. I'll still be wearing shirts.
Brendan lives in England, and he has some a fun fact. Here's his England fun fact. He says, over here, we say titbit, whereas on the other side of the pond, you say tidbit. I wondered why this was, and after a small amount of Googling, I found out that when you're...
Some cleaning up.
When your Puritan forefathers first left Britain, they changed it because they thought it was too salacious.
I agree, it is.
Yeah, I don't
Tidbit or titbit?
Titbit? Please stop saying titbit.
Titbit.
Like just make sure you clear your history after that search.
We're learning, you know, we got another addition here, a new Colin Campbell, and he's teaching us all sorts of
that's
crazy
right.
English.
What was it? Like, cocked up?
Cock up.
Today was cock up.
It was a cock up.
So if anybody, I don't think we actually should solicit definitions for cock up, should we?
We already know what that means.
Okay. We'll have some fun with it. But yeah. So that came up today. That's interesting. So the challenge has been to use that generously today, which we kind of cocked up. So
speaking of titbits and cock ups, I also interviewed Sasha Gray at Comic-Con.
She's a lady.
Yeah. She wasn't too thrilled to be there.
Did you chop her chest?
I chopped her chest. Yeah, did it three times.
Did you cock her up?
No.
Now you've gone too far.
Sorry.
Come on. I did think it was strange. I thought because that's probably the first woman I've talked to.
Wow. Well, how was it? Yeah. I thought it was strange. That was the first woman I've ever talked to.
Breaking news.
Ryan Geddes, you like Gears of War.
Oh, God, I love it.
So
I was
Comic-Con.
A little bit upset because... Well,
why?
Go ahead, yeah.
Why?
I missed an event recently where I would have been allowed to play Gears of War, but I didn't get to go.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
Something I learned about Gears of War 3 at Comic-Con is that it has this exclusive casual mode. The multiplayer
does. I heard about this.
So at the panel, Cliff Bleszinski and... the other guy.
Rod Ferguson.
Yes, he was there. And they were talking about how they want Gears of War 3 to be very approachable for newcomers, even if you've never played a Gears.
I call them newbies.
Yeah, okay. Really?
It's kind of a word I coined.
You just kind of came up with that?
Go ahead.
They don't want to scare people off who haven't ever played Gears of War before. So in the multiplayer mode, the game's going to look to see if you have a save from Gears 1 or 2, or if you play the Gears of War 3 beta. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any of that, then you can play in this exclusive casual game room with other newcomer players. We have auto assist or aim assist and presumably more health and things like that. Thoughts?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah?
I think it's great. Like, why do people who've been playing these games for years need to play on casual mode? It's the mode that everybody skips. I mean, I've never once played a casual mode on a Gears of War game. So I'm going to ignore that anyway. I think it's really cool that they're taking data that they've gathered from these games over the years and actually doing something with it. I mean, it's the only way to really make a safe zone for newcomers, because otherwise they used to have ranked and unranked matches, mm-hmm. and they figured that the noobs would go into the unranked matches, but that wasn't the case, because they found out that people who still were hardcore, like players who played a lot, they just wanted to play for fun. They didn't want to play for a rank or for like a semi-pro leaderboard standing. They wanted to go in and play with their friends. So I think it's really cool that they did that.
I think it's adaptive too, like after 10 rounds or something, then you get bumped to the actual, something like that, or 10 kills, something like that.
Yeah, it's almost like a tutorial with that, but it's a live fire drill. Like, it used to be just like they drop you in with bots. Like, I think Gears 2 had a thing where you could go in and fight with bots playing in the multiplayer. Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but it's not really the same as playing with real people.
Like, you mean Horde, or...?
No, I think that there was a way in Gears 2 that you could actually just play the multiplayer matches with bots.
Really? Oh, I don't remember that at all.
I could be wrong. But.
I think that we're going to see a giant uptick for probably the first couple weeks or month of new Xbox Live subscribers, because I imagine people are going to use their 48-hour accounts who are like Gears of War ringers, just to have some fun and create a new Xbox Live account and play without any of those saves attached to that account.
And just to fuck with the new guys?
Just to make a mess of these noobs.
I think
I was wondering about that.
Whoever these noobs are that Ryan's talking about.
I was wondering
about
that.
If you're dedicated enough to do that, then...
Then you're awesome.
Yeah. There's no guarding against that.
Everybody did that in Halo 2, didn't you?
Like, I did not do that in Halo 2.
Oh my god. Oh, it was so fun. Team SWAT, you could just create a 48-hour gamer tag and just go on and mess with people. It was amazing.
Just headshot everybody instantly. The thing that I think is cool about it is, in general, not even just speaking from Gears, is...
It was fun.
You're bad.
Maybe.
The trend, maybe, I mean, if you can call it that, Mass Effect doing it and Gears doing it, of taking gamers' previous data and actually doing something with it in the next game. It's kind of a reward in a way for playing those games. And even getting excluded from casual mode is in a way kind of saying, you're kind of an elite player. Like, you've played a lot of these games. You know, we're going to exclude you from this noob area.
Damon, is there anything in the game that rewards players who have played through Gears and Gears 2? Like you're saying, sort of you come into it and you get XYZ because you've already played so much?
I haven't heard about it. Are you talking about, like, so with the new Spider-Man game, Edge of Time, if you have a save from the previous Spider-Man game, Shattered Dimensions, you unlock 10 costumes right away. Is that the sort of thing you're asking about?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Gears of War 3 with the beta. So if you played enough of the beta and met certain criteria in the beta, you will have certain perks in Gears of War 3.
That stuff is great. That's great.
Yeah, like, wasn't it like a golden shotgun or something like that, or a lancer?
Yeah, well, they're all three of the weapons you could unlock as gold, but I think there was only one of them that you could bring over into the game if you did it in the beta. But they're also costumes. I think Thrashball Cole maybe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
was unlockable. But anyway.
A lot more and more people are doing that. Uncharted did that too. So if you got to the 25 level cap or whatever, you have a whole bunch of money waiting for you when you get the real game.
That's cool.
Yeah, reward your loyal gamers. IGN reader Thundar316 says, I would prefer a server that banned anyone under the age of 25. Is that the problem, really? Under 25-year-olds are the problem?
It's an age cap.
26
really
is when you really hit your stride.
That's right. Yeah.
Maturity.
During this panel where Cliff Bleszinski was talking about this, he also confirmed that grunge sucks.
He said grunge sucks?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was a random, like, it's really it's about 20 years too late on that one. But
There's been a recent uprising.
I liked grunge.
Kurt Cobain lookalikes.
I mean, come on. There's so many great.
You had a lot of flannels?
I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wore them a lot.
I can't see that.
Did you know that?
Long hair.
Long hair? Why are you pointing at me?
You've got long hair.
On your chin. Mm-hmm. Next month is the 10th anniversary of Nevermind. Speaking of grunge.
Is that when Kurt Cobain's ghost comes back?
No, it's not. It's the 20-year anniversary.
Is it the 20? Oh, fuck.
It did not come out in 2001.
So sorry. Back in my day.
Can you rewind that? But it is the anniversary nonetheless. In 20 years is correct. I'm so sorry. Apologies out there.
There's a lot of big anniversaries this year. What, 20-year anniversary of the Super Nintendo?
That's right.
25-year anniversary of Metroid?
Right. Which is getting criminally overlooked, honestly. Like, everybody's talking about Zelda, which is great, and they should talk about the 25th anniversary of Zelda. But, like, mm-hmm. you know, Metroid was there as well. So, but go on. Sorry.
30th anniversary of Donkey Kong.
Wow.
This year? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of stuff this year.
What do you get a donkey who has everything?
I think it's the... Let's continue talking about shooters. Shooters are popular.
I like them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Battlefield 3 is coming out October 25th, sure. I'm gonna say. That sounds right, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
A lot of people are excited about that one.
I hear it's perfect on every version. Just frame for frame perfect on every
version. Well, so it's coming to PC, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3.
Uh-huh.
On the PC, it's going to support how many players? 64 players on PC.
Bam.
Only 24 players on Xbox 360
not bam.
And oh, PlayStation
box
3.
Trot. What just happened?
Greg, how many players did MAG support?
Oh, Jesus.
200.
What? It was?
No, I don't know.
It was like a million.
256.
56.
Yeah.
Exactly. Remember, it stood for Massive Action Game in the beginning, and then they just got rid of that, and then it was MAG.
Why 256, though? That seems like such a random number.
It was the way the squadrons broke down.
Why not 248?
That would have... Oh, but come on.
248.
256
don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, you're going to pay $60 for a game that only allows me to have 248 players?
Come on.
Sorry, my bad.
So this is Patrick Bach, head of DICE, developer of Battlefield 3, is saying, where is he saying? Oh, so talking about how players being less on consoles.
Do the Swedish accent?
He has a Swedish accent.
I wish he was saying.
He's like, that's Swedish, right?
That's what it says in the quote. It
says, we use the same engine, same technology, the same animation system, same lighting system. Our aim is to give the player the exact same experience and not try to dumb down the console version. He says the same exact experience, but to me there'd be a big difference. There's three times as many people playing on the PC version.
But are the maps scaled?
Yes. They're more compact. The maps are going to be like more compact on the console version.
So console players get different maps and fewer players.
But it's the same experience. I was just going to say, wait a second. Engine. It's the exact same everything, right? So there's... I'm confused.
So talking about the maps, he says, it's not that we have cut them in half, but we tried to compact them slightly to keep the action up. Because there's fewer people there.
Yeah. Why?
Is that a big deal for console gamers?
No.
So
how many players did Battlefield Bad Company 2 allow?
I think it was... A million? Yeah, it wasn't 20. It wasn't... I think it was 24. Or
on
whatever
console?
That was.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know. I mean, honestly, when you're playing a multiplayer game, there's a huge difference between 64 and 24. But once you're in that sort of 24 or below, that's kind of the norm, right? I mean, or even less than that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of, you know, 4v4 games and even 8v8. I mean, you could sit here and make a big stink about it. And, you know, certainly we ran a preview on it actually last week where we saw for the very first time the PS3 version of the game. To date, as they showed us the game, they had only showed us the PC version.
So we still have not seen the 360?
We still have not seen the 360 version.
What are you hiding here? What does it mean? Bring it out into the light!
Does it not work, y'all? So,
just ran to my knee on this console.
But in reality, Damon, here's a question, right? How many players does Call of Duty support?
I don't know offhand. I'm not a Call of Duty player. Anybody know this?
No.
None of us are.
But Call of Duty is a very different game than Battlefield.
It is.
Like, Battlefield is, like, large scale. There's lots of vehicles. There's jets and boats and,
true,
you know, tanks.
I have half a mind to think that somewhere in there, as they are putting this together, they're thinking that's what they're going up against and that the experience needs to, at the very least, be competitive towards that. So if they're in that sort of window, I'm sure they're thinking that they're going to be providing what people are used to. Although, you're right, Battlefield's a very different type of game.
It's also more of a PC game than Call of Duty is, mm-hmm. isn't it? Like, it started on PC.
I mean, there's a lot of PC gamers out there that would probably, you know, not like the sound of that.
Oh, really?
Lots of people play Call of Duty on PC.
Call of Duty
sure.
was like, absolutely. You know, the original, is it, like, early Call of Duty
I think of Call of Duty now as a console game, as an Xbox 360 game more specifically.
Right. No, I hear that.
That's where the momentum took it.
We're talking a lot about, you know, the difference between PC and consoles. So for the final time, I'd like to invite Charles on.
ATI Radeon cards.
Wow.
Thanks, Charles.
It's uncanny, right?
Yeah. Do these mics move up? Because I think he'd be too tall for these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll edit that in.
I'm sorry.
I love Charles,
and I would love to have him on here. I love Charles.
Oh, he's a
Charles
great podcast.
He is awesome on podcasts.
He's awesome, and he refuses to do them.
We were talking about the words that I won't say earlier.
Correct.
Charles will not say the word penis.
We've tried for years.
He will not say it.
All right, I'm going to make a mental note of that. Sometime within the next 10 years, we will hear him utter that.
Years.
You know, you have to have long-term goals.
Set your sights on his next employee evaluation. What do you need to work on? Say penis.
No. It's just, oh, and by the way, Charles, can you just read the sentence real quick? I did a great job. I deserve a penis.
You could have penis on the flip side of the page so that like he won't see it coming. And then, you know,
that would really
get
him.
There it is, he would say it.
Or you could trick him with word association.
What if we just make, all right, Neutron Synergy, you got a lot of free time coming up. No, sure. You're going into
Damn
games
it.
Now. Yeah. You're going into games now. Go in and make a game that has penis in the title, and then we make Charles review it and do a video review.
Sure, yeah. I'll bring that up on my first day at my new job. So here's
the thing. Yeah.
HR, all that stuff. Sure, I'll sign
Reckoning,
the papers.
Now,
I got a pitch for you.
Todd McFarlane walks by like, hey, Todd, how many pieces do you want to draw today?
Hey! Whoa.
I look over and his just whole notebook is penis doodles.
I've been waiting for a moment like yours.
High five, star wipe.
That reminds me, I forgot when I announced that you were leaving, I was supposed to say that you were leaving to just work on Neutron Synergy full time.
I'm just focusing on Neutron Synergy. We got so many games in the pipeline. We got the Jumping Fellows.
Yes.
We've got Ryan and Damon and the Curse of the Blood Orange.
Yes.
We've got Super Spaceship Brothers.
Yes.
What's going on with the litigation against Monsters Probably Stole My Princess?
I haven't heard back from Joel Spiederman lately, but he's been traveling a lot. So, Monster Surprise was the name of that game.
Yeah. So anyway, it's going to be great that you can finally. I think it's great that you're finally following your passion.
Yes.
IGN Reader, what's this guy's name? Goat Hill One.
That's a good one.
Things ever meant to Goat Hill Pizza.
Pizza.
Talking about Battlefield on consoles, he says, why has PS3 been bundled up with Xbox yet again and received a below-par game made to the Xbox as MAG can have 256 and both Resistances have had 64 players online?
Which they're dialing down Resistance 3 now because nobody liked that, so yeah.
Hmm.
They're just going with the tides here, buddy. Calm down.
What's the question?
He's wanting to know. He's thinking that the reason
the PlayStation 3 version can only have 24 players is because it's being built alongside the 360 version, which can only have 24 players. Obviously, the PS3 version could have more because these games had more.
I see.
It's a good argument.
Yeah, it's solid. Compelling. Rock solid.
Yeah, I mean, because the story here isn't that DICE is coming out and saying, yeah, guys, we want to tailor-make this experience for the console, so with that in mind, we're creating a game that's going to host or accommodate less players. That's not what they're saying. What they're not saying is that it's just not going to run the same on PC, so they want to make sure that they don't have to dumb down the game. So I think that's a fair argument.
I haven't read the story, but does the PC version run on dedicated servers and the console versions do not?
This information is not available to us at this time.
In fact, you can't ask that question at this time.
Because it would make sense. That would may help explain why.
But why not make the consoles run on dedicated servers then?
Because you have to go through the platform holders to make that happen. Like they, that's why Gears of War, like that's why
yeah,
Epic
Gears
had
of War
such a hard
is
time.
On dedicated servers.
Yeah, but like they have a like exclusive publishing deal with Microsoft, so it's easier for them to do that. So you don't want the experience to be different on PS3 and 360. The dedicated servers are handled differently for each platform.
So it seems like a smart move since Call of Duty is really aligned with Xbox is to strike a deal with PlayStation to offer dedicated servers to PlayStation 3 players.
But then they risk pissing off like their Xbox, the people who would have bought the Xbox version of the game.
I mean,
so they're in kind of a sticky situation.
Quite a pickle,
I like to call it a sticky wicket.
What the hell? That's not even a thing.
No one's ever called
it
that.
I made that up.
It's like a penis doodle.
See, the ones that you make up
Google,
actually aren't
you
good.
You should Google it. It's a real thing.
I like pickles.
Actually, Colin Campbell would probably know what a sticky wicket is.
Mm. Wow. That's an interesting tidbit. What
would happen if you cock up the sticky wicket?
You'd have, again, another interesting tidbit.
I'm sorry.
I think that there's a possibility of that potentially happening because, I mean, look at what we're seeing so far on console. The game comes out in, 90 days? And the first time that we're seeing the game on console is now. And what are we seeing it on? PS3.
And so I called it?
Maybe you did.
I called it.
The game previously was only shown on console on the Jimmy Fallon show. Is that right?
He gets all those.
Jesus. And what was it shown on?
PS3.
PS3. Hmm. So there could be an argument for that. Or, at the very least, we could, conjecture that might be happening.
I'm waiting for it on Vita. I'm just waiting for the Vita version.
You and me both, brother.
Ad hoc, play ad hoc.
I'm only getting 3G version. I don't have to worry about ad hoc anymore.
I'm waiting for Wii U.
I kind of like ad hoc.
So Battlefield 3 comes out in October. You know what else comes out in October?
October. No, wait. I thought it comes out in September.
Batman.
No, not Battlefield 3.
Battlefield 3. You said September 23rd.
Or did I do not. I said October 25th. You're making things up.
Maybe I am.
October.
The whiskey's gone to his head.
I'm going to listen back, though. I think you did.
I think the whiskey went to his beard.
Maybe it did.
You know what else comes out in October? October 4th, to be exact. Both Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown come out on Blu-ray.
We announced that today. Exclusive.
It was an IGN exclusive.
Does it have any extras?
There's going to be some extra features on there.
Sweet.
Yeah.
There's some tidbits.
Jackie Brown is the namesake of my cat, as most, I'm sure, the listeners know. My cat is adorable.
Hey, Ryan.
Pretty cute, yeah.
Can you pass that, Ryan?
I can.
Thank you so much.
Then will you pass it to me after that?
Absolutely. But I thought you drink slower.
Yeah, I know. Now he's like trying to make me look bad.
So drunk. Ryan's a lot.
Jackie Brown is an underrated Tarantino film. Agree or disagree?
Nobody gets rated accurately.
I think it's rated accurately.
Rated accurately, maybe underviewed or underenjoyed. I don't think it was viewed as much.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll agree with that.
Greg, you just saw it recently, right?
I did, yeah, within the last 6 months.
I think it came out during a period of Tarantino fatigue.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, it came out like a couple years after Pulp Fiction.
Well, and he also did that weird Four Rooms movie. And I think people saw that.
Yeah, he did a bunch of weird stuff. He did like From Dusk Till Dawn.
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
No.
Father of the Bride.
That's right.
Do you remember Destiny Turns on the Radio? Does anybody see that awful movie? He was like a starring actor in that, and he was awful.
Oh,
the movie's so bad.
Yeah. He should never be in movies.
From Dusk Till Dawn was amazing.
He was good in.
I still haven't seen From Dusk Till Dawn because
I
haven't.
But how can you not?
I just haven't seen it.
Oh
so
my god!
Some people like
Harvey
it's not.
Keitel's finest.
It was not reviewed well. Like
the reason I loved that movie. Is because I didn't know anything about it when I went to see it.
I didn't either. I saw it totally like on a fluke. I saw it in the theater.
Me too.
Yeah, and
I was like,
and for the first
three
quarters of the movie, you're like, it's a pretty good kind of gangster movie. It's a getaway movie, and then what the hell?
Yes, awesome.
Yeah. Okay, I'm totally gonna watch this.
Do you know anything about it?
I know it's a vampire movie.
That's all
that I know.
Spoilers.
You just ruined it for everyone.
Generation Sully.
The movie's only 15 years
old. Come on, Damon.
Everybody knows it's a vampire movie.
I didn't.
Just turn the podcast off.
Anyway.
Please don't.
Say poop.
Who loved the hell out of Double Dragon 2 on the NES?
Who didn't?
I didn't like
it. I'm raising my hand.
You didn't even have that one? I know a lot of people that did.
I like the first one a lot.
Yeah. Even you played that one, Greg?
I don't know.
No, you didn't.
They all run together.
All right, KZ and I.
I played it, yes.
So, it's no Streets of Rage.
It's not the greatest game, but certainly
no, it was good. It was awesome. So Double Dragon 2 came out in the arcades. It was ported to NES. They're kind of different, but, you know, same basic game, side-scrolling brawler, sequel to Double Dragon.
Awesome Brothers. Palette Swap.
Double Dragon 2 is coming to Xbox Live Arcade, we have found out today. But not the arcade, version. It's being remade with some truly awful, awful, awful graphics.
How did this happen?
You know, this is really strange because this popped up on a site called Co-Optimus. And so they said that Double Dragon 2 is coming to XBLA. So I was like, "Rip, what?" So I looked on PartnerNet. Sure enough, there it was. I downloaded it.
What's PartnerNet for listeners who aren't
on the industry? PartnerNet is like the hidden Xbox Live Arcade testing ground. We have access to it if you have a debug. Xbox 360.
There's a trapdoor underneath our offices. We got to go down there.
It's a developer version of Xbox Live that developers can post their content on that's either in submission for at Microsoft. But the good news is anybody that has a debug and a PartnerNet account can go on and see any of this content.
If you want to make your retail a debug, switch it to SD mode, wrap it in a towel.
No, don't do that.
Please don't do that, guys.
Go ahead, kids. It's gonna be
so. I don't know why. It's really weird. It's being made by this Korean developer I've never heard of before. The name escapes me. I googled the developer's name. Nothing came up. There's no website about this developer.
Did you Google it in Korean?
What's that?
Did you Google it in Korean?
No, I did not.
Did you run it past Clements? He probably knew.
Yeah, I know. He probably did. So we reached out to Edelman, Microsoft's PR folks. You made it too strong,
Craig. Oh, God. I only had a sip of the sun-kissed left, and I thought I could fight back the captain, but I couldn't.
You get used to it.
Anybody got a quarter?
You get used to it.
I found a dollar on the ground. I'll be right back. Okay, do we have long enough?
You're going to... Yeah, sure. Greg's going to buy more Orange Crush for his Rome job. So Edelman was like, it is coming out. But they didn't
We actually heard from them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then they were going to put us in contact with the developers. There's a little more about it. But anyway... I was playing it today, and I did not have a great first impression of the game. Like, I really like the arcade. I don't know why you wouldn't just bring out the arcade original. Like, they've had success with that in the
Konami
past.
Konami game?
It was Taito.
Taito. Now, talk about some of the awesome loading screens.
So it is wonderful for its English. Ryan Geddes and I are huge fans of English. Yes. I wish I could remember some of the stuff. Like, even the game description on the marketplace was awesome, because it was like, The two brothers will find the whereabouts of the good feeling and enter a new world day. It's like, that's what it's like. It's
happy
so good.
Happy time game.
Yeah. And then what was the one with the fat? It was like, you must realize you're fat.
No, it was become courage to seal your fat. Or
yeah,
something.
Which is supposed to be seal your fate, but it's written as fat.
But there were many of those.
Yeah, it's so good.
So didn't Namco buy Taito, or is Taito its own company still?
Yeah, it's confusing to me.
I mean, Double Dragon is a valuable brand.
Jesus,
right?
Greg. Well, is Double Dragon a valuable brand today?
Well, no. I mean,
so the first Double Dragon.
Wait a second. What do you mean no? I mean, if somebody were to come out with an actual port of Double Dragon 2.
Double Dragon, the original arcade game, was on Xbox Live Arcade, but it was pulled.
Right.
Because the company that owned the rights to it went bankrupt.
Right. It was pulled with a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, like Speedball
and
too,
Mortal
weird
Kombat.
Stuff like that. Yeah. So that
so
stuff
there
was
must
pulled.
Be some, they must have sold it again.
So just the rights to Double Dragon 2 were sold off. Like,
here was
so
the discussion
weird
that we were having in the office though was because there was no developer listed, and or actually was it developer published that was listed that was the Korean company?
No, it's just a developer. There's no publisher listed.
No publisher. So we were sitting here thinking before we'd heard from anybody that maybe this was just
Korean ripoff games.
Hey guys, let's just make a Double Dragon game and throw it up on PartnerNet.
That's a good Korean accent.
Thank you.
From the
they
hills
do stuff like
Korea.
That. Like if you go.
There's gold in Korea.
Like if you go to
go
to Chinatown in San Francisco, and you can buy a console that plays 50 different versions of Super Mappio Brothers,
which is
Mappio,
amazing.
I know, yeah.
But so I think we ruled that out because Damon, you said that.
Well, Edelman has confirmed that it's actually coming.
Okay, but also remember when you were playing it, you got to a point where there was some history in it, and it actually
from the menu you can look at a history of Double Dragon, and it talks about how Taito brought it out in '87 and all.
Now
that
technically
stuff.
They could have cribbed all that too, just to
sure.
make
sure
it
they
more
could have.
Legit.
Sure.
So, but who knows.
The game really does not look very good, though.
No.
It's really ugly and doesn't run well. In the very beginning,
I'll take it.
During the tutorial, you play as the girlfriend before she's murdered.
Finally, the story I've been wanting to.
And she has huge bouncy boobs.
Oh, my God. And she gets shot in said huge bouncy boobs, but there's no wound, per se, but they are nearly uncovered by the end of the intro sequence.
Well, they're uncovered the whole time, really.
Oh, yeah. No, and there's a there's boob physics.
Yeah, I'm saying while she's punching and jumping around, they're jumping around
even
too.
Even when she's breathing.
Mm-hmm.
Now the 3D play in the game's played on as well. Like you can control a camera and move it around, or did that actually just happen?
No, you were not controlling the camera.
Okay, but when you got into certain angles, the camera shifted. And
yeah, for cinematic effect, I think.
Because that's what these games are about.
In Double Dragon 2, can you still do this sweet jump kick that just destroys everybody?
Well, see, you could in the original, but I wasn't able to. I didn't achieve that when I was playing it today.
Well,
the other thing is that Double Dragon was all about grappling.
Yeah.
You should be able to get up, you knee them in the head, and you throw them over your shoulder, and I couldn't figure out how to do that.
Right. Do you think you're just bad at games now? You're really good back
I think
in
so.
Days, you know?
Maybe that's just all it is. Yeah.
I always tried to pick up items in Double Dragon to hit people with, and it was never the best idea.
Why?
Because
you always got hit whenever you bend down to pick up a bottle or something.
You got to time it exactly right, and like you got to be the
and
right
those,
distance.
Those
from
two by fours will only last a couple hits before they shatter.
Like real life, that was the only realistic part.
Just ask Frank West.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Double Dragon 2 is planned for September on Xbox Live Arcade.
I'm sure that plenty of time to clean it up.
$15.
Wow.
For that one.
Wow.
It comes with a history of the freaking franchise, guys.
That's
true.
How much would you pay for a history book, Damon? I bet more than $15.
It comes with awesome loading screens.
There are a couple games you can buy on Xbox Live Arcade right now that are totally worth $15. Bastion is one of them.
Yes.
Greg put up his review last week while we were at Comic-Con. But just if anybody missed what Bastion was all about, give people the spiel on that one.
A really cool action RPG with a really beautiful art style.
Mm-hmm.
How action-y is it? It's the fast-paced action genre you've been looking for.
Yeah.
I don't like that. No, there's new weapons at every level, so you can switch them out here and there. You can add elixirs to change how
is it side-scrolling? No, it's isometric.
Yeah, and the world forms up underneath you as you go. And the real hook to it is that there's a narrator narrating the game, but he narrates as you play. So every action you do happens. So when you start just raging out, it talks about that.
How repetitive is it?
Well, I mean,
it's actually not, because that's what one of the things we were talking about that we liked about it. When you go, you have like a hub world that you're building up. And then when you jump out to these levels, they're kind of short, and you really don't know what to expect in each one. They're different every time.
That was my favorite part.
But I mean the narration. Like, do you get tired of the same guy?
No, he doesn't. It never repeats.
It's not like, it's not like it's the kid to a left, the kid to a right, the kid to a left.
That's what I'm picturing.
No. It's like, it's more about like, there's been a calamity that's wiped out all life in your world, right?
Spoilers.
So he comes up, he's like,
those were the Anderson twins. Oh, there's the bar owner.
That's it's kind of cool because he gives context to what you're doing.
Like, here's an example. Geddes picked his nose and it was good.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for telling everybody what I just did.
We don't have a camera here. I'm just trying to...
Yeah, they're missing all that stuff.
Bring it to life.
No, but there's plenty of cool stuff in there. And then the Geddes new game plus is like critical to the story kind of thing as far as like I'm going through, figuring out exactly what's happened here, because there's actually, all of a sudden, it goes from just being a normal, you know, hack and slash, you're running around, getting new weapons, choosing stuff, doing all sorts of stuff, and then you get to a point where you have to make these choices, so the story branches, and then you replay again, and there's like hints from the narrator that he is aware that this has happened before.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I thought it was kind of easy at first, but when you invoke the gods, it gets super hard.
Totally with you. It feels like a really easy game, and I thought, I'm going to burn out on this, but then you start beating these gods, and you get idols that you can add onto the game, so you can choose to, you can equip as many as you want, and it increases the amount of XP you're getting and the reward you're getting.
It makes the enemies harder, but you're getting more XP.
It's like skulls. It's like PlayStation doesn't really have anything iconic like that, so I can't really
flow. Remember flow?
What? I'm an amoeba.
But you don't have to take our word for it. I have a code for Bastion right here. One of you lucky listeners is going to win a copy of Bastion for Xbox Live Arcade if you are fast enough. Here's the code. WVMVVFQYD4PW6WT3KYWKCKW2Z. Please to enjoy Bastion. So Bastion came out last week as the first game of Summer of Arcade. This week's Summer of Arcade game is From Dust. It's also great. The review is up on IGN right now. They reviewed it in the UK office. Gave it an 8.5. I've played through most of the game, and I totally agree with their review. That's probably kind of what I was thinking about it, too. This is the one that's sort of a god simulator.
Too soon.
Where you're rebuilding this sort of island. What's that called when a tribe of people are nomadic? They're nomadic. You're helping them to rebuild their society, and you have the whole world is
That's black and white.
Governed by a physics engine, a very cool physics engine, so you can pick up parts of the land and rebuild it elsewhere.
Is it easy to do on a controller? Or
it is.
Better
just the left and right triggers. You know, pick up and release
the cursor around.
You do,
stuff up.
But it moves. The cursor moves swiftly enough to make it easy.
Swiftly,
yeah.
Swiftly. I like that.
From Dust is very good. It's awesome. It's out on XBLA this week.
Is Capybara making another Might and Magic Clash of Heroes game?
Last time I saw Nathan from Cappy, he wouldn't tell me what they're working on next. I think they're going to port that again to like iOS.
Yeah,
I
kind of got that.
That's my guess. I don't know that they'll. Yeah, that game is awesome. That one is available on both XBLA and PSN. Very, very good game. They haven't done a sequel before, so I don't know. I don't know that it sold well enough to warrant a sequel. But those guys do really, really nice work. Speaking about Bastion, speaking about all these cool downloadable games, IGN reader Interstellar Cycropt says, so we have a large group who hate downloadable games and a large group who hate retail games.
Who hates downloadable games?
Mentioning this in the comments. He says, while some of you want to resell your game at GameStop or on Amazon for a few measly bucks, I would rather keep the game permanently and not have to deal with stacks and stacks of cases. This hadn't really occurred to me, but I guess, are there people out there who aren't playing these games because they really just want to buy a game and then resell it to GameStop?
I guess.
That's really sad. That you would like miss out on these awesome game experiences because you can't resell them?
The iPhone mobile gaming market is booming. And that's people making $1, $2, $3 purchase decisions left and right, and you can't resell those either. So, I mean, that's a really weird disconnect between old-school, hardcore gamer who's used to buying a game in a box people who are just used to clicking a button and getting something.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems a little funky to me. I don't know who would not buy a game because they
can't sell it back.
Yeah.
Although,
what does that even mean?
There is a larger the larger point there about just DRM in general in electronic media and how we all just kind of accept it now. But, I mean, it does kind of suck that I download a game and then I can't do anything with it. I can't give it to Greg. Like, I could give him a CD. Like, yeah, you should check the CD out. I can't
Well, I mean, you kind of can. Like, if you lent him your hard drive, he could play it.
Yes, I'm going to remove my hard drive and give it to him.
I mean,
no,
that does suck.
I mean, we've accepted that as the norm, but it would be great if I could download, you know, Might and Magic, Clash of Heroes, and then say, wow, I'm done with this game. This is so awesome. You should check this out, Damon. And
well, what's great about Xbox Live Arcade and most games on PlayStation Network is that they all have trials. You know, pretty, and they're pretty. You know, they give you a really good slice of the game.
That's true.
You can check out any game on those downloadable platforms, which is great.
And to his point, as far as stuff piling up, I mean, it depends on how much hard drive space you have, but sometimes the arcade games pile up too, and you have to like figure out what you're playing and what you're not playing and delete them. Although you can just download them again if you ever have that itch.
The other question you talk about, you know, piling up and stuff like that. Don't let things pile up. Don't buy a game until you're about to play it. How many games get discounted? You know, there's a giant.
That's the thing. Yeah,
right. All THQ games are half off. You can get Custom Quest for ridiculously cheap if you haven't picked it up before.
Yeah, and that happens all the time. I mean, so yeah, I mean, anytime a games pile up, that's sort of the signal. Like, hey, stop what you're doing and play the games you have.
I mean, it's one of those things where I think we're used to, you know, I want to make sure that I buy this game on release date or order ahead so it's there when I want to play it. And for downloadable games, you don't have to do that because as long as you're going to be, you know, you're going to be connected to the internet for
you're not
going to
sell
out. Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about
it. Can you pre-order a game on Xbox Live?
You can't.
That would be so awesome.
Just set it to download. Yeah, I'm sure Microsoft has thought about that.
You can do it on like Amazon, which is dangerous. Like I was just looking at like a couple books that are coming out, and I have a Kindle, so I could just hit
air conditioning just stopped.
Wow, wow.
That's really
the
crazy.
Air conditioning was like, hang on, I want to hear what Geddes has to say about this.
What is this Amazon? Amazon nonsense.
But you can one click on a book and pre-order it right there, and then it comes to your Kindle when it's available. And that would be great to be able to do, even if I wanted to do not just a downloadable game or like a traditional small downloadable game, but what if I want Forza 4 and I don't want to go to GameStop to get it? I can just hit a button and then it delivers it to my Xbox and I'm ready. It would cut out every retailer.
Well, but yet now you're not just talking about the pre-order conversation. What you're talking about is cutting out the retailer.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, come on, we're going to get to that at some point. It's the infrastructure's there. It's it's really going to piss off all the brick and mortar executives. So
it doesn't like. Why does Microsoft care about that?
Well, because that's the where the majority of their business is coming from.
It's
from GameStop.
I mean, what I'm saying is, there's going to be a tipping point where all of a sudden Microsoft realizes that it's, you know, they'll get more direct money out of it.
It's like the same conversation as electric cars. I mean,
and flying cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too, and jetpacks. But I mean, you know, shouldn't we all be driving cars that get the best mileage and are super fuel, you know,
efficient?
Thank you.
No problem.
I mean, granted, electric cars up to this point largely have looked like suppositories, which I understand, you know, turns most people off. So now they're actually.
Except Damon.
Exactly.
Kind of a turn off for me.
Say poop. But
order them to do it.
But it's the same thing, right? I mean, the only reason why they don't is because they're used to the current model and they make a lot of money doing it. So,
but I want assholes. It.
We do too. I mean, look at the marketplace. You can download full retail games right now. It's not a question of bandwidth. It's not a question of them having the server space. Although, granted, I mean, if they switch to a digital model, imagine the server farms that would be required to sort of distribute. That amount of content. I mean, how many people are going to go out and buy Call of Duty on day one and that becoming a digital download? I mean, that's
crush the
I guess you're right.
The internet.
It would just destroy. Maybe,
I hadn't ever thought of that.
Block.
I guess the infrastructure isn't there quite yet to go all digital.
No, it's not.
I think once we're in space, like once we live in space, they'll be.
do you think the lack of gravity is going to
Greg hates it
bandwidth?
When anybody says anything funny about him. He's got to shut you down.
That's not true. He snores through my stories. I'm trying to be serious.
I heard it. You did snore.
I know. That's true. You know, my wife is afraid of space. Have we talked about this?
No. I know that you're both afraid of monkeys.
But I thought we were not going to talk about monkeys on the podcast anymore. Thanks for making my last podcast about monkeys. No, she's afraid of, like, I would love to go to space. If somebody gave me the opportunity.
I love that we're talking about space now.
To go to space, I would go instantly. Like, bam, like that. But she said no way because she's afraid of the kind of outlier possibility that she would be floating hopelessly in space in a spacesuit, tumbling away from the ship,
wow.
like dying in her spacesuit.
I like how it went from I'm going to space to I'm doing a space
I don't like. Why are you? How about say no to the EVA if like that comes to that? Maybe just stay in there and watch the Earth from the portal, you know? And like,
I mean, that's obviously what would happen though if she signed up. You know, at some point, if we get commercial space flights, you know, things would go bad, and they would say, Mrs. Geddes, can you please don the spacesuit and go out and fix the transponder, please.
The transponder. Why is the transponder on the outside of the ship, first
better
of all?
Like at the other end of where you sit. Yeah.
Well, I told her.
It's inside the jets.
I tried to comfort her by saying, you know, you could just have like a suicide pill with you.
But you can take off the helmet.
That's a good idea, you too. Just
that's what he did
pop
in
the
one
explosive
movie.
Bolts.
Ooh, this is going to kill me. What's the Gary Sinise movie where he goes away with the aliens?
Oh, shit.
Cocoon?
Gary Sinise goes away with aliens?
It's something Mars involved.
Mars Attacks?
No.
Operation Mars?
Was that a real movie?
From Earth to Mars?
Bruno Mars.
The Mars Volta?
No.
Was it Mission to Mars?
No.
Yes.
Ultimate Mars?
Wait,
was it the one with the guy that was married to...
This sounds right, because remember it was the guy who okay. he floated away from his wife.
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, yes. you're right.
The Hudsucker Proxy.
He was married to Susan Sarandon.
And he floated away from his wife, and he's like, don't come for me. And he took off his helmet, and he immediately turned to ice.
Well, they
like that's not what would happen.
Once, what do you mean?
His head would explode.
Yeah, you would explode. Because there's be oxygen like inside your body, none outside your body. The oxygen would push you apart.
What if they did the thing in The Abyss where they were breathing liquid?
Oh, there you go.
Then he'd be fine.
Yeah, then they're that fine.
Don't
if you breathe
worry,
liquid,
we should have done that. For the first 9 months
so that's, what that's what they'll say to your wife. It's okay, you'll be breathing liquid.
Oh, thanks.
The transponder is outside in the alien pen that we keep attached to the ship.
I'll stay here with the baby. You go get it.
The Abyss is an awesome movie.
It is an
is
awesome movie.
Is that on Blu-ray?
I don't know.
Probably.
I think it is.
I'm sure every James Cameron movie is on Blu-ray.
It's on Laserdisc.
Oh, Laserdisc.
Sure.
I remember the first time I saw Laserdisc. Did anybody have like that rich friend?
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
Greg.
Yeah, I had a friend that had
down the street.
That my rich friend also had the 3DO.
Oh God! Wow. Panasonic. Yeah, but when the big ticket Laserdiscs came out, they came with four or you know however many it was.
I love you have to flip it over too.
It's so like, awesome. I was just watching this last night on the third season of Californication. One of the. Kathleen Turner plays this awesome character on there, and she watches Laserdiscs at home. It's pretty good. And has cocaine blown up her ass. So.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh, I think that happened in Mission to Mars. but remember the really pimped-ass Laserdisc players, right before that whole thing got phased out, actually would play both sides, so you wouldn't have to flip them.
Oh, yeah.
That's a technology.
That's when you
that's
know
like that, the future today.
You know you arrived when you're buying a dead technology that's been
you bring a girl back, and like halfway through the movie, she's like, well, I guess we have to turn the Laserdisc over. No, we don't. I have the newest version.
Blast the Mohegan's
arm goes around her.
And you stop for a moment. You say, hey, listen to that sound. It goes, shh, that was the laser. You didn't realize it.
I have a laser in my house, honey.
I have a laser in my pants.
Watching Terminator 2, Judgment Day, on Laserdisc, I remember you could pause it with such precision at the time. That was a big deal. As opposed to, like, when you pause a VCR, it would get, like, all staticky.
Yeah, for sure.
But you could pause it with such precision that at the beginning, when Arnold Schwarzenegger first shows up and he's naked and he gets stabbed in the cafe, you can see that the knife bends when it hits his stomach. It was like a rubber knife, a rubber, like, prop knife. And that you could pause it with the Laserdisc to see it bending. That was a huge deal.
Do you think the people who made the movie watched it on Laserdisc after that, and they were like, everything's changed. We can't do such special effects.
The effects supervisor committed suicide, I'm sure.
He did it by taking his helmet
off. In space.
I didn't breathe liquid.
All the liquid burst out.
Before we check in with the listeners, our UK podcast is about to air its 100th episode, and they've asked all of the other IGN podcasts to record a birthday greeting for them. Now, Ryan Geddes does a spot on.
I do amazing British accent.
British accent, so I thought he'd be perfect to wish them a happy 100th episode.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
Hello, mates. Congratulations on your 100th episode, Governor. Chim chim chiroo. We're going to get in our lorries and hold our torches high for the biscuit festival. We'll have a titbit of tea and a spot of crumpets.
Well, now you got to kind of end it now.
So happy birthday!
Congratulations on episode 100.
Party won me over.
Also, why is your media so crazy in English?
Inside of me!
Sorry.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
This is Luke Monahan.
I like that name.
Luke Monahan.
Luke Monahan gets a lot of ass, I bet, unless he's underage.
Guess is showing me cute pictures of his baby.
In space. Ryan, come home.
Luke.
Shut up.
And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Luke says, Dear GameScoop, happy anniversary. That's right, it's our anniversary. Last year's post-Comic-Con show was the first one I listened to.
Aww, Luke! We didn't get you anything.
It was also the night I fell in love, although he doesn't elaborate on that. I'm assuming he's in love with us. Oh. Since then, I've listened to every show. I've even met Damon and Greg and toured IGN, including the room where the magic happens. Just wanted to say thanks, and I love you.
Oh, we love you too, Luke Monahan.
My name is Luke, this is my email, and I'm out.
Chunk, 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 chunk.
Luke Monahan.
It sounds like a lost character.
You're gonna like this name, Greg. This is Royce Butler.
Ooh, Royce Butler. I like that name quite a bit because he is a huge IGN fan and was part of the initial NCAA podcast Beyond Dynasty a few years ago.
He's got a few questions. Number one, is GameSpy being phased out? I will let Casey Lynch handle this one.
GameSpy is not being phased out. Although there's a lot of changes going on, we just hired a new editor in chief. Who's from Down Under, where everything's upside down. And everything's
what's that?
I think he's doing, I come from a land down under.
It sounds like a ringtone.
I'm sorry that I can't make instruments come out of my mouth. So Ben Ring in charge, a former IGN employee you might remember from back in the day.
Yeah, so Bennett's on board. GameSpy's alive and well. The rest of the guys are still here in the office. Their main focus
the rest
is
of the guy. Ryan Scott is the guy.
Exactly. So,
hey, Stinko Man. Boy. Everybody says that you're the guy, but I want to be the guy too.
I don't know what that's from.
The Homestar Runner.
Okay. Paint the whistles.
So they are going to be primarily focusing on PC gaming. So
dead platform.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So angry.
No, this is a
common. No, I think Battlefield 3 is going to bring it back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because you can have 58 people or something.
This is, I'm sorry, this is, who is this? Dragos.
I thought Royce Butler had a couple of questions.
Yeah. Oh, and well, so, anyways, Royce, yeah, GameSpy's gone.
Well, his other question is, other question is, where is Ryan Scott? Ryan Scott, he's still here.
He's right behind you.
He shares a desk with Colin. He's on the other side of Colin. He sits not on Colin Moriarty, Colin Campbell.
He sits on Colin.
Oi!
You know how Crate and Barrel has C2? That's what Colin Campbell needs. We need to call Colin Campbell C2.
Isn't it CB2 or something?
It is CB2.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It is CB2.
Oh, and you know, speaking of CB2, Anthony Gallegos and I earlier, we're having a conversation about droids in Star Wars, and I found out that R2-D2's name, R2 is the designation of his make, and D2 is his actual, like, unit number. So there could be an R2-D3 out there who looks just like R2-D2 and is an astromech droid.
Snore noise.
But now actually a different personality than R2-D2.
Now, I'm not gay. But
wait a second, I thought you just revealed that you just now talked to a woman earlier.
I think I'm actually in love with Anthony Gallegos.
Yeah, he's a beautiful
man.
He's
a good man.
He's got those
eyes.
He's
a tortured soul.
He's brooding.
He has the most depressing Twitter feed ever.
I like to imagine he goes home and whips off the train conductor hat and his shirt and just like has a giant thing of white canvas. He just hurls it.
And like, Erasure is playing in the background.
Wow. That is depressing.
Anyway, this is Dragos. I think Greg can probably take this one. I would like to know if the PSP Vita will allow me to browser the internet, allowing me to view Flash videos.
You will be allowed to browser the internet. Flash capabilities are unknown at this point.
Can you browser the internet?
I don't think so. That would require Nintendo to step into this year.
Also, if I want to send in a question to the Knock and Boots podcast, do I send it to GameScoop?
Send it to me.
Yeah. GameScoop@IGN.com.
Yeah. GameScoop@IGN.com. For now, we'll probably spin it out into its own podcast. But for now, you can reach Knock and Boots at GameScoop@IGN.com. Just like you can send your GameScoop questions. One more time, Greg. What's that email?
GameScoop@IGN.com.
This is Rick Van Etten.
A good name, too.
Lots of good names today.
Sounds like Dutch or something.
Short and simple, I've never watched a single episode of Seinfeld. Does the series hold up?
What?
Yes, it does. It is awesome.
So if he's not watched it before, he should start watching it now.
Why would you not?
Totally. He was dunking!
Also, if you're on Twitter, Greg
DiMaggio episode.
Oh, Seinfeld, follow Seinfeld Stories on Twitter and tell them that at Game Over Greggy sent you. At Seinfeld Stories, at Game Over Greggy sent you. What it is, this doesn't help this kid. But if you've been a Seinfeld fan, this is basically Seinfeld fan fiction, 140 characters. It's him summarizing a show that never existed. So yeah, he just makes up he makes up a Seinfeld episode, and most of them sound incredibly real.
Agreed. Mm.
Is the ice melted, or is there still ice in there?
There's still ice. There's still
I want some ice.
It's a remnant, but...
Greg,
I mean, but wait, so here's the question that we haven't answered. Is Seinfeld really still relevant?
Oh, ice. Yeah.
It was never relevant.
What?
I mean, it's awesome, but there's nothing relevant about it.
You're right. That's the wrong word. He's asking for a recommendation. Should he watch it? I would say yes.
Totally
absolutely,
yes.
Yeah.
So if he watches it right now, he will laugh. He'll think it's funny.
In most
let me hand this to you.
And I would say 90% of the Seinfeld episodes, you can just jump into.
Yeah,
like, if you see it on TBS,
there's no backstory.
Well, I mean, maybe they're going to talk about, you know, George being engaged, or maybe, you know, whatever. Yeah. That's like the one thread that'll be, yeah, I know.
But you have to be ready to deal with a little bit of aged
there's
look.
Right.
Like right. That comes from the time when men still tucked in their shirts.
Yeah, it's like watching
very tight, like Levi's.
Watching 15-year-old Seinfeld episodes is like watching a modern British television show.
Kind of, yeah. There's lots of cereal.
It's bad production values. Mm-hmm. And
what was the last time you gave anyone a label maker as a present? Yeah, there you go. That's Seinfeld.
God, mm-hmm. Whoa.
What was the most recent episode? Seinfeld stories. She hates Elaine hates Pringles, and what was the other?
I don't
story
remember the
thread
was, but yeah, that was the secondary thread. Is that Elaine hates Pringles?
This is from Sweaty Gazelle.
Okay,
aren't all gazelles sweaty?
I just listened to your latest podcast, guys, and it was awesome. So anyway, I assume you guys have been gamers for a long time. I was wondering if you guys had any tips on how to make friends who are into gaming. You see, I go to college. Most of the people I meet don't play games.
Yeah.
None of my three roommates have ever even owned a game console. I have a few from some high school who are really into Halo and Modern Warfare, but that's about it. So by the way, my name is Chris. I'm 20 years old, and I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh!
So is he in college now, you said?
He says yes. No.
Okay.
So
conventions.
Well, there's that, and I was just gonna say. So my IGN.
Totally.
My IGN is a great place to meet gamers and fellow IGN readers. Post on there that you're where you're from, what school you go to, and you'll meet other people.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is do something at your dorm or your room or your apartment, or whatever, that's like gaming related, like play Rock Band or something. Or
Sure.
I mean, play a game that people are gonna relate
Rock
to.
Rock Band.
Like, I'm just saying.
Can't let it go.
He lives in Boston. Fancy. You should invite the harmonics. Kids over and have fun.
Two suggestions. One, he might be worried about his dorm mates thinking he's a nerd if he plays games in his room or whatever. So he should put up something that only a gamer would recognize, like on his door or
that's
something.
Code? What would that be?
Maybe it's Triforce? Like a little Space Invader or a Triforce or, you know, whatever it is. Nathan Drake's penis.
That's true.
Like
that's
that.
True. Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, a lot of colleges have clubs, right? Like, you know, whatever it is. If there's like a tabletop gaming club or something like that, you can
don't hang out with those losers, all right?
That's terrible.
It depends on what kind of games.
But he just wants to meet gamers. He's gonna meet gamers that way.
It depends
does that.
If he's into like RPGs and MMOs and stuff like that, he'll totally meet people there.
The first and easiest step without going to the fucking loser club of your college over there.
Ooh, Anthony Gaios is here with his Warcraft.
I think tabletop gaming is cool, for the record.
I'm just giving my time. I have played my share of Heroics.
I love Magic the Gathering. Myself.
Actually, wrestling is a kind of tabletop game.
True, except it's got sweaty men in it. But no, go with Damon because my IGN has a booming community. How many people have we seen? It's weird. There's a new generation now of my IGN or community kids, right? I remember the old days. Remember the Hobbies, your Brits, your Walter Lopez. Mm-hmm. They've all gone on to bigger and better things. Look at that.
And if you're in Massachusetts, you are required to go to PAX East.
Yep, get Panda with
us. Yes, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, that's a great
idea. Oh my God, yeah. There you go.
But I mean, tell me this. Like, if you're in your dorm or wherever it is, if it's an area where there's actually like other college kids or whatever, if you're playing a game loud or something,
totally,
people are gonna, you know, especially if it's. And I'm not trying to push Rock Band here, believe me. I'm just saying, like, that's a super accessible game.
Yeah, anybody,
easy.
Everybody likes
Guitar
Rock Band
or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
no. In my definitive college, I have three definitive college video game moments in my freshman year. One was when I first got there and knew no one in Missouri, and I walked out one day to go to classes, and I heard. The SmackDown 2 sounds. And I ran down the hall looking for the door, found it, and he's one of my lifelong friends from then on out. And then, yeah, we got SmackDown.
It was me.
SmackDown, just bring it, played that, and then GTA. When GTA 3 came out, I left my room open, and people would come in just to have me drive around and listen to Chatterbox. They didn't care what I did. They didn't want me to do anything. They just wanted to listen to Laszlo talk.
I mean, you could just open your door and even play like a shooter, and people would be like, what the hell's going on?
For me, it was my dorm room playing Neverwinter Nights. And
Jesus,
there was another guy on my floor. He walked by, he saw me playing Neverwinter Nights, and he came in. He was like, "Oh my god, I play Neverwinter Nights!" And we became friends because of that. I happened to be in a little bit of a nerd dorm, but you know, hey, it was easy.
I'm really old because mine was Maximum Carnage, Spider-Man, and
Venom. Oh my god! Wow, you were in college when the Super Nintendo was out. You were in college. Oh my god!
I was in fourth goddamn grade.
Leave me alone.
I was in seventh grade. Oh my god!
What did I say? I wasn't even born yet.
I know.
What?
I know.
What are you like?
No, even if he wasn't born yet,
and I'm in space.
Even if he wasn't born yet, he could still be 20 years old now. Like that's how fucking old these games are. Anyway,
Jesus,
I don't like that.
This is Sean Evans. I missed Comic-Con, but picked up a $10 used copy of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, there you go. Good job.
I always tell my friends the Cap America game will suck, just like Green Lantern and all movie tie-in games because they letter R rushed. However, X-Men Origins is a very good game. Do you guys know of any good movie tie-in games? Now, X-Men Origins was sort of a fluke. Yeah. I mean, it was a really cool game. But what they did right with that is that it didn't follow the movie storyline, and they made it...
bloody.
Exactly, the way Wolverine would be. Wolverine has always been very violent.
I mean,
fucking movies are PG-13 and they can't show any blood.
I still hold out hope that somewhere Raven is making another Wolverine game off the books that has nothing to do with the movie. They're just making a Wolverine game that can come out with the next Wolverine movie, because that would be so great to see them not restricted to having involved the Blob and all this backstory for the X-Men Origin games, because that's what's wrong about it, right? Like lunging at people, watching your skin get blown apart down to a skeleton and continue to fight was awesome.
Yeah, he would like put his fist up to someone's head and then retract his claws or... What's the opposite of retract?
Tracked
his claws? Yeah, right his claws, through his skull. That was awesome. Yeah.
That's what I do usually. I track my claws all the time.
You're just a tracking fool.
I am. It's a tidbit.
But I don't... The reason why that game is good and why Arkham Asylum is good is because they didn't... They weren't direct movie tie-ins.
Separate category, right? I mean, a comic book game. But I mean, you could make the same argument, like what are good licensed games? And, you know, Arkham Asylum for sure. I don't know about... There's not a ton of movie games that are, like, super awesome. I mean, obviously, there's Riddick.
I'm talking in this
generation. Like, crazy is we've been talking about a lot of older games recently here. And you know,
because we're old
in the SNES generation, Genesis licensed games were really good.
Well, it's because it was easier, right?
Well,
like, I love Spider-Man on the Genesis, but it's a Shinobi clone, and it wasn't tied to a new movie. But it was, you know, it was an easy port over that you were able to put out.
One of my favorite licensed games back in the day was Adventures of Batman and Robin. That game was amazing on SNES.
Yeah,
like, the game looked so. That was one of those games where you would show people, like, "Oh my god, this is Super Nintendo. It looks so good."
Yeah.
But in this generation,
what are you cooking up in your mind there, Geddes?
I'm trying to think. What I'm realizing is, unless I'm mistaken, I have never purchased a licensed game.
Ever?
Ever.
Now, wait. How far back does your gaming go? You had an NES?
I had.
How could you avoid a licensed game on the NES?
You never played Disney's Aladdin?
Well, I'm not saying I never owned that game, but I didn't buy it. So, I got that game as a gift. I'm trying to think of a game I went out and bought with my own money, whether it was in 1989
Ninja Turtles on the NES.
Thank you. I was just going to say Ninja
Turtles. Nope, I played it in the arcade. Why do I want... I didn't need it at home. All my friends and I went and played it in the arcade.
No, that's why you wanted it at home, because you played it in the arcade.
Yeah.
It
was
you never bought an X-Men game?
No, I'm not a comic guy.
Never?
You didn't play DuckTales on the NES?
Nope. I rented it.
Okay.
Like, back then, you rented games. My friends and I went to the corner store, and we rented games all the time. I wasn't a rich brat like Greg. I couldn't just buy everything I wanted.
I lived in unincorporated Glen Ellyn. I didn't have sidewalks.
Greg was the kid who came over to your house.
Greg was an only child. You weren't an only child.
Yeah.
Greg got whatever he wanted, like today.
I had 30 brothers and sisters. We couldn't afford it. I'm trying to think. I've gotten games free working at IGN. Somebody would get... I'd get Batman Arkham Asylum or whatever
Money
else.
Hat.
But I don't think I've ever went out and bought, because I feel like I already have experienced that property in comic form or movie form or TV form or whatever. Why do I want to buy the game version? I'd rather have a new experience in a game.
You didn't buy Butcher Bay?
No. Although that is a really good game.
You didn't rush out and buy Revolution X?
No, I did not.
On Sega Saturn?
What about racing games with real cars in them? That doesn't count?
That does not count. Okay. I buy those games.
Okay.
But What about Madden? That's a licensed game.
I don't play sports games.
Look at this nerd.
Yeah. Do I look like a guy who goes home and plays Madden?
I don't
look at my pocket protector.
I was going to say, imagine you go home, you put on your blazer with your elbow patches,
and a pipe,
recent Voltaire.
You never bought any Star Wars game ever?
Oh, thank you, Star Wars. Oh, damn it, Damon, you did it! Yes!
KOTOR. Yeah, I bought KOTOR.
Apology accepted.
Man.
The Star Wars count, though, really...
What?
Let's not count Star Wars. We can't count Star Wars.
Oh. Well,
all right.
Well played, Dan.
We've arrived at our final question here. And it comes from Parker, and it's a question for Greg.
Oh, okay.
With the recent end of Smallville, I was just wondering what Greg thought of the show and what other superhero he would like a show made for.
Smallville, man. It was a tumultuous relationship. Smallville was very good through season two, and then it took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It only limped on 8 more years, so it wasn't that bad. I mean, all in all, I cried when it ended. I cried when Clark walked away.
Really? Final episode?
Yeah. Not the finale. Just when Clark... There's this very touching scene when Lois is about to get walked down that aisle and her father's not there and Clark's not there. And he sneaks up behind her and grabs her hand and they walk down the aisle together. It was very touching. And then it turns out that Oliver Queen's been touched by Darkseid and he tries to put a golden kryptonite ring. Sorry for waiting for the DVDs, everybody.
Gettys is getting chills, though.
Anyways, no.
Now Gettys is crying.
I enjoyed the ride. It was a touching ride. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought the finale was good. I thought it was a cop out that Tom Welling didn't want to wear the suit. So there's never agree with me here.
Yeah,
there's never a full body shot of him in the suit except some CG and then him tearing open his shirt, which are cool moments. I didn't understand why they waited 7 years to get married. Whatever. So it was good. Another show that I'd like to see, another superhero I'd like to see.
What show made for?
Aquaman.
No, fuck Aquaman. Submariner. They tried that shit. I'm definitely not going to pitch a Marvel character, please. I'd love to see more Con Air.
Swamp Thing.
I don't understand what's happening. So I'm getting Young Justice.
Swamp Thing was a good show. Yes. I watched the hell out of Swamp Thing.
That was a good comic, too.
Hey, speaking of Swamp Thing, do you remember the Toxic Avenger movie?
Yes.
How could you forget?
What's the name of the studio that made all those movies?
Trauma.
Yeah.
The Swamp Thing movie was great, though, with Ray Wise.
Oh, it was good.
Adrian Barbeau.
He put his limb, he gets his limb cut off, he puts it in the sun, it grows back.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Dude, photosynthesis.
Yeah. All right, fine. Just make another Swamp Thing show.
I'd be into that. But what you have to come up with some character that
does it have to be a superhero or just comics? Well,
just
or
what's
novels?
The Invincible?
Oh, Invincible show would be good.
What about the Runaways?
Good pick.
No, I like that series.
No, I don't. I have nothing against Runaways. I feel spoiled because I want to say Connell, Superboy, but he's already in Young Justice, even though that's been on hiatus forever. So and the Batman you don't want to do. He's already been done.
Okay, well,
what
Parker...
about miniseries? Why the Last Man miniseries?
That's not bad either. That or Invincible. That's what I'm siding with. And they make Walking Dead, so I can't complain. My life's pretty good. Because I like shows that are on TV.
Parker also says, if you're scooping this Friday the 29th, I would just like to tell you it's my birthday.
Aww.
Thanks for the awesome show. It always makes my week. Parker, we're not scooping on Friday. We're scooping on Tuesday. But there's no reason we can't wish you a happy birthday.
Are we putting this up ahead of time? Or
I'll put it in my Outlook.
I don't know when it's going to go up, Greg.
I assume it's going to post on Friday. So happy birthday, Parker.
Happy birthday, Parker.
Happy birthday. Let's talk about Thanks Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
That was a show. I recently Netflixed that. Does not hold up. It's not like Seinfeld.
Even Kubiak?
I was going to say Kubiak. Okay, interesting.
Doesn't really hold up.
I went to an Alice in Chains concert in the early 90s in Los Angeles, and Kubiak was there.
Yeah.
And
wow, in the crowd?
In the crowd, and I asked him to throw me up on the crowd so I could crowd surf. So I, Kubiak, crowd surfed.
Oh, he did it.
He threw me up, yeah. Because I think it was during the first season or something like that, if I recall, which I'm old.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was super visible at that point, or, had a lot of people talking to him or whatever, and I was like, Kubiak! And he threw me up. Can I cuss?
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah.
I've been cussing this whole time.
I always want to know when somebody tells a weird celebrity.
Oh my
story,
God! Look who's peering in.
That they threw
right
somebody
now
up there. That I saw this celebrity doing whatnot. Does it ever get back to them? And do they remember that? Like if Kubiak heard that story, he'd be like, I remember that.
I hope he does. It was a really great show. I just remember Alice in Chains was playing. It was like a big AIDS benefit in the early 90s at the Hollywood Palladium. And there were a bunch of bands that played. The Red Hot Chili Peppers played.
Cool.
Hi, Clements.
Hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been joined by Ryan Clements.
How's it going, everybody?
Entire episode's been dedicated to K-pop.
It should be pointed out that Ryan Clements is drinking a warm Blue Moon.
Oh, yeah, and you're slinking around like you're a little tipsy right now.
No, I actually, this is only my second drink.
So. Run in the club, getting tipsy.
Yep. Yep.
And hey, Clements, what are we doing later tonight?
Yeah, actually, that's why I came in here. I just wanted to see if we were supposed to wait for people to go get dinner.
Dinner?
Because, that's what what's going to happen.
Dinner?
After dinner, we may or may not be drinking with the hosts and food aficionados of Epic Mealtime.
That's the plan.
Smart.
Fucking smart.
From my calculations, we have an hour and a half before we're supposed to meet them, so we have time to eat beforehand.
Right. So no,
translation,
I
we have time to
so
drink.
So here's my. We're going to the usual spot near our office.
It's not Pete's.
21st Amendment.
Oh, good.
Correct. All right. Well, I guess.
What's your problem with Pete's?
The food is bad.
Oh my God, Ryan, you take this one.
I don't
have no defense. It's not good. Damon, help me out here.
It's also not terrible. It's just fine. It's just middle of the road. No, it's just middle of the road.
Food is not good.
I'll eat their cheeseburger.
Ew, mushrooms are disgusting too.
You are an idiot. You're fired.
You know what? Satan sits in his evil spiky throne, and in one hand he has mushrooms, and in the other hand he has warm fruit.
Where do the monkeys fall into this?
They're in back of him, blowing horns, blowing golden trumpets.
I would like to say that you are the man that hates bananas, which I think
bananas
is actually
are disgusting.
One of the cardinal sins.
Monkeys, bananas,
monkeys
warm
eat
fruit.
Bananas.
Okay.
You don't like any of this stuff.
Well, how can you hate bananas? It's like the perfect hangover.
I can't even the smell of it
really?
Alone. Is
oh, yeah. Potassium, you eat a banana in the morning.
Really good for you.
It's, yeah, it's
also, Damon, I'm sorry I interrupted. I just wanted
it's
to
okay.
check. So
we're wrapping up. We're wrapping up for now.
Oh, goodness.
We love you.
Greg is touching
you. Yeah, we have arrived at the end of the podcast. Ryan. Yes.
To the end of the road.
You
can't let go. You belong to me. I did long to you.
Ryan Geddes, it's been a long, strange trip.
It's been an honor, sir.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah.
You'll be missed.
Same.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Ryan Clements. Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Ryan Geddes.
Thanks.
My name is Damon. This is IGN GamesCube, and we're out.
In the small town of Peoria, Illinois, Ryan Geddes stepped off his porch and fell into a hidden pit of lava. 36 years later, scientists found Geddes, but his DNA had changed.
Ryan, made from lava, it's Ryan. He can't ride a bike or fly a plane, but he can throw a white hot magma across the plains. Yes, if evil's your thing, you better hit the road, cause Ryan's here to burn you chodes. Ryan, made from lava, it's Ryan. He burps sulfur, spits up blood, because he's made of lava, he'll never know love. He saved us from aliens, he saved us from spuds, cause of his genetic makeup, he'll never be hugged. Ryan, made from lava, it's Ryan.
Remember kids, I'm Ryan Geddes, and your parents can't protect you from me, because I will burn your house, melt your skin, and play kickball with your soul.
Come get some. Beware,
IGN GamesCube.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world. That ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.